This is my favorite song.
I can just see you dancing to that.
I had my headband on.
Lonely Nights.
My tight spandex. Glistening in sweat.
Sure, it's a good look for you, Frank.
Thank you. It was. All the ladies loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Frank Fontana. That's Kathy Hart. Joining us in studio, Jim Karas is here to talk about fitness in a different kind of way. But, Jim, before we get into it, you got a little heated in our ending of our conversation about social media and the influence that it does on people's self-image.
I think there is a terrible disservice that is done to both men and women. I mean, the biggest incidence of bulimia and anorexia now is men more so than women because they're getting body shamed the way everyone else is. But I'm very disappointed in a person who I wrote for her magazine for many years. I spoke at many of her conferences, and that's our Miss Oprah Winfrey.
Whoa.
I mean, who photoshopped and airbrushed back in the day her pictures more than she does on her covers? And I think she's done so many positive things for people with so many emotional things she's shared and she's brought out. But when it comes to the body image thing, you know, Miss Winfrey, you got to really turn it around here because the whole Weight Watchers thing, you know, she's overweight. One week she says, I'm happy with my weight. The next minute she's not. The next minute she's this. It's like, stop. Because women are all saying to me, and I've been a trainer for 31 years, if Oprah has a chef and a trainer and can't lose weight, how can I? And I always say the exact same thing, everyone. It's because she doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm. You have to put the effort in.
You have to, and you have to wake up, look in the mirror and say, you know, I want to make a change. We were chatting with Jessica, who's going to be on in a moment, about perfectionism. Why don't I get better? Why don't I do just a little something better for my body? Sleep 15 minutes more, drink an extra glass of water, take a walk for 15 minutes. Simple habits that you can then parlay and make huge changes over time. So I've said this for many years to Oprah, and I've gotten a lot of trouble, and I don't care. Please lead us.
You've said this to Oprah?
I have not said it to her. I've said it very loudly on numerous television and radio shows and articles. Oh, yeah, she doesn't like me. Oh, no, she won't introduce me at the at her things that I used to speak at. At RL, we fight for the same table here in Chicago. Table 68, and when I'm on the other side, she will not say hi. So I literally nod like hi, and she will not acknowledge me.
Jim, the very first thing I thought of is because it seems like when you're on a cover now, it's her magazine.
Of course.
So I have to believe she has final say.
Oh, of course. She says she has final say.
But she also wants to look really good and present this image. So it seems like it's a pretty tough balance of what do I do? Do I look my absolute best with photoshopping and sell more magazines? Not to say that that's the reason she's doing it, is to sell more magazines, but to look her best. And it is a society where you're faced with, where do I get the courage to do that?
I would say $2 billion could help most people get the courage to do that.
I think so.
Yeah. So at this point, when we're all struggling, we've all started out, we've all done things, but the lenses and the cameras and the way you can reduce your size. I'll see people I know at the same party I was at. I'll see their Instagram the next day. I'm like, who's that? That's so-and-so. They took 50 pounds off of their picture. And then I hate in the media when you have a celebrity and they tell this at Vanity Fair. They tell the writers. They tell the celebrities. Eat a burger and fries when you're interviewed by the Vanity Fair person for the cover story because they're swizzle sticks. And they say things like, oh, Cameron Diaz is eating a burger and fries. No, she's not. You can't stay that size and eat a burger and fries. Yeah. That is never true. So again, all of our young people are influenced by these beliefs that why can't I eat like these thin people can? Mm-hmm. Why can't I look as good as these people do in their pictures? It's because they don't.
Well, Jim, I can imagine, you know, if I'm Weight Watchers and I'm a top executive, Oprah to me is the perfect spokesperson because she's never going to be fully thin.
Correct.
She, like, as you say, she doesn't want to be technically.
No. Nope.
So,
well, there's some people, they just, their body will not be, she'll never be 110 pounds.
It would be unhealthy. Let me be very clear. That would not be healthy for her. Do you know what the average person on Weight Watchers loses on a weekly basis? Quarter of a pound.
Quarter of a pound. But which is to my point of, Oprah perpetuates the idea of, you know, smoking. I want somebody who's going to continue to smoke and push that advocacy, like Oprah is continuing to maintain her weight, although she has a message and a voice and all that stuff.
Correct.
She's the perfect person because she will always be right there with that weight. And she's, you know what I mean?
And she's relatable, Frank.
It's relatable.
You can relate to her. Absolutely.
Relatable.
So
I think what Oprah deals with also is the emotions behind the constant struggle with your weight.
Yes.
Does she ever want to get to that perfect dream weight? I don't know. I can't answer that. I'm not her. But it's a constant struggle with, why are you eating the things you're not supposed to eat? Why are you eating? Moderation. There's so many different things are involved in weight loss.
This is a perfect opportunity for therapist Dr. Jessica Pryor to chime in. She's sitting in studio with us. She's with the Family Institute. Jessica, why don't you slide over to this mic over here?
Okay.
And give us your two cents on the topic, because this is your world that you play in.
Yeah, so you're a therapist with the Family Institute, and I did a little bit of research on you, and you can basically talk about anything as you're trying to get your headphones on.
Headphones are on back.
You probably don't even need headphones on right now.
Perfectly. You can get started
with
that.
Hold on.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
There.
So you're dealing with a lot of perfectionism with millennials.
Yes.
Right now, that seems to be a topic.
Yes. So I am a psychologist at the Family Institute at Northwestern University, and my position has three roles. So I'm a full-time faculty member to our Master of Arts Counseling students. I'm also the lead of a perfectionism research lab with some pretty outstanding graduate students. And finally, I am also a practicing clinical psychologist here in Illinois, and I work often with perfectionistic students, sure, athletes, absolutely, but also people who are in high-achieving, pretty high-benchmark careers.
So what would you say to people that, I don't know if any teenagers are listening, but what would you say to parents of teenagers that are dealing with this perfectionism on social media? What advice can we give our kids to stop trying to be so perfect?
I love this question. I am campaigning a major initiative at Northwestern this week, hashtag perfectly imperfect NU. Mm. And we were talking in the green room around good enough expectations.
It works with your wife, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I use that hashtag all the time to my wife.
Good enough?
No, perfectly imperfect.
Oh, I was going to say. Okay.
Let's a couple things slide.
So normalizing good enough. And I think parents with best of intentions, certainly coaches as well, really encourage people to do the best, be 99th percentile. And statistically, we can't all do that. And so helping people have good enough expectations is really key.
Hey, Kathy, you know what I'm thinking here? We got to take a break. And we have Dr. Duffy, who's standing by. What if we brought the minds together?
Whoa.
And had a panel discussion on this and keep this going for a little bit, because the text lines are heating up.
Can you guys stay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Are you cool with that?
I have a date with the gym, so I can push my date back.
All right.
Of course you do.
Folks,
okay.
We want you guys to chime in on the subject because the text lines are heating up. 312-981-7200. I know this is a hot button topic for a lot of people. We'd love to hear all sides of the fence on this. 312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Oh, so pretty. I feel pretty and witty.
You did it, Tom!
Wow.
That was a last-minute request. I feel pretty.
Yeah, you like 30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Let's come back in with I Feel Pretty.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's apropos for the conversation here. Joining Kathy and I in studio is celebrity trainer Jim Karras. We have therapist Dr. Jessica Pryor from the Family Institute and Dr. John Duffy, regular here on WGN. You hear him with Bill and Wendy, as well as other shows on the network. He's got a book. He's on all over the place. He's on Pear, this new website and portal for parents. I love it.
That's great.
Thanks, John, for coming in. So, Kath, we left off with the subject of self-image on social media.
Yeah, because with as a mother of a teenage daughter, and she had actually spoken to me this week, but somebody came into her school and talked to her about social media and perfectionism, and she came home all charged up. Those stupid Kardashians, I can't believe that they're making a living off blah, blah. And she was really upset, and she was really charged up by the whole thing. But then, like, 10 minutes later, of course, she posted a picture, whatever. So, so it's easy to get all charged up about the subject and agree that social media is going too far with perfectionism and putting way too much pressure on our kids to be perfect. So how do we help our kids navigate that?
Mm-hmm. Who wants to? You want John?
Well, I'll start with this one. Yeah, because, you know, most kids now grew up with social media. And so a big component of their self-esteem is that part of their identity. So we can lecture them and say, hey, you know, you do not need to be perfect. You don't need to post anything perfect up there. But number of likes and that being part of their identity suggests something very, very different. So as parents, instead of lecturing our kids about what their identity ought to be comprised of, we need to do a lot more listening about why it comes from social media. What does it mean to them? And if you can get down to the meaning, you can usually find some degree of balance. Not that social media is not going to influence them, because it is. It will for the rest of
their
lives.
Right.
It's inevitable. But you want to
create some balance, and you want your voice in the mix where you were saying, like, you don't have to be perfect. You know, you don't have to present perfect. You can even present something ridiculous or hideous on social media, and maybe that will have an impact on somebody else that they don't need to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing more and more of that, aren't we?
I would add that I think a really important component is helping children, helping all of us understand that social media presence or physical appearance is one aspect of our self-worth, but it is not the entirety of. And so a lot of the individuals I work with, a lot of perfectionism research shows that people get really, really distressed, self-critical, eating disorders come up, depression, anxiety, when my entire self-worth is based on these few marks of success.
Absolutely. You see it in adults, you see it in kids. I know people and friends like this where their entire week is just done if they step on a scale and they're 4 pounds over the weight they
want to be. Which they should do same time, same day, every day.
So you're a big
proponent. You should get on the scale every single day. Yes. Get the reality. Get your blood work done every 6 months. Get on the scale. I mean, get your data. This is at your fingertips. Utilize it. If you're gaining weight, it means you're overfueling. You're over-energizing your body.
If you get on the scale every day, I mean, doesn't it fluctuate?
Sure.
Is that going to mess with your head?
No, because you learn the patterns. You learn to understand there is going to be fluctuation, and therefore that becomes your reality.
Jim, this is super important because a lot of people do what you say. They get on the scale every day, and then they freak out when it's 3 pounds over, 3 pounds. Then they're thrilled when it's 3 pounds under, and they have a great couple of days, and then they eat something, and they step on it the next day, and then they're shattered.
Correct.
So you got to explain this further. Folks, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You could text or call that same number. We got a panel of amazing experts here to help you with any questions, or if you're dealing with these issues, now is the time to talk about it. So let's talk about it, all right? The scale. To me, I like what you're saying, and I've done it when I've been on strict programs, but on my day-to-day, I'm one of those guys that does get a little affected by it.
You said a bad word, Frank. You said strict. So when you go on those rigid, crazy, no carb, no this, no that, no white at night, no all of this, no. I hate the word no when it comes to any type of diet program. I don't even like the word diet. It's total deprivation.
Mental deprivation,
what you want to do with your body is just like a baby. Think for a moment what a happy baby does. It sleeps, it eats, it poops, it burps, it plays, it sleeps, it eats, it poops.
They have a life, don't they?
Perfect. That's what we're supposed to do as adults.
And
we're supposed to eat at the same time. We're supposed to eat at the same time every day. We're supposed to sleep within the same half an hour every day. If you get into a healthy habit, healthy patterns, that scale is going to stop all that wild swinging back and forth. Sure, there's going to be 2 or 3 pounds that are going to go up and down at different times, but you're not going to notice those huge, devastating fluctuations that you beat yourself up on.
That's what I want you to talk about, is what is normal fluctuation
for people
who don't get, so 2 to 3 pounds.
Absolutely.
2 to 3 pounds.
Absolutely.
So don't sweat over that.
No, okay. No. And you know, when you backtrack into what you ate the day before, I had sushi, lots of soy sauce, I'm dehydrated, therefore I'm bloated, therefore I'm carrying water weight. That's what this is coming from. I'm not up 2 pounds of fat, 3 pounds of fat. You can't do that in a day. That is your water fluctuation. Your body's huge amount of water.
I do think a lot of people don't realize how bad they eat. I have a friend that she thinks she eats healthy.
I know.
She doesn't. I'm like, okay, keep a journal, keep a record of everything you eat. And it's like, whoa, okay. I thought I was eating healthy, and I'm really not.
Here's the problem, Kathy, with the word healthy. Healthy doesn't mean weight loss. Healthy can mean, yes, I'm eating more green vegetables. Yes, I'm eating more lean protein. Yes, I'm making better choices. Doesn't mean you're creating a caloric deficiency that's going to facilitate weight and fat loss. Yeah. That's the problem with that. Healthy is fine, but it doesn't mean weight loss.
Yeah.
Now, John, you see a lot of kids coming into your practice.
I do.
Who may suffer from obesity and struggle with the mental side of that. Are you focusing on the stuff that Jim's talking about?
The line I draw here, and it might be threading a needle a little bit, is the idea of kind of emotional wellness versus emotional brittleness. So I think if somebody is emotionally pretty strong and healthy, I think that data can fuel them in kind of a coaching type way. I think if somebody is super suggestible and their self-worth is malleable, overly malleable, I think those numbers can play a negative number.
I don't disagree with you. Right.
Yeah. But for healthy people, I do think you want to use the data. And to your point, Kathy, like sometimes we think we're doing absolutely the right thing. This happens not just in eating, but in a lot of habits in our lives. And we find out when we really examine it, oh, I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm not eating properly. I'm not studying enough. Whatever it is, you might not, you might recognize once on reflection that, these habits really aren't working for me.
So who wants to answer the question of emotion when it comes to diets? Because a lot of people are on diets, and I heard someone say, until you deal with the emotions going on in your life, whether it's from childhood that still haunt you or affect you to this day, or a current relationship emotional issue that you're going through, you are not going to lose the weight no matter what diet you go. You have to deal with your emotions. Mm-hmm. Who wants that one?
Jessica, you take it.
I'm happy to take it. So as a perfectionism psychologist, I work a lot with individuals who have perfectionistic tendencies across all domains of life, especially relationship with body. And one of the key components to that, that most of us know, I think all of us on the panel might agree, that relationship with body image is often not about food. And it's often not about fat. It's about some of those other messages.
Yeah, because when I'm not happy with the world, I eat cheese fries and I don't care.
she smashes them all over the face. Cheese fries, facials.
Like life, yeah, life get stress, and yes. It's like when you can't have like a glass of Pinot, and yes. It's like, okay, I feel like I need something to just make me feel better.
Jessica and I were talking about this in the green room. I have a famous client who's a writer who says Haagen-Dazs never lets me down. Yeah. So at night when she's stressed, it's a go-to food, and she for that reason.
We got to take a quick break. This is a fascinating conversation. I do want to get to some of the calls and some of the texts that are coming in. 312-981-7200. Folks, if you have a question to any one of our panelists here, we'd be happy to talk to you. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. Frank and Kathy here. We're talking about healthy body image, working out, and the impact of social media, how it all plays in.
Yeah, I feel like we could talk a really long time about this. And I do. You said we were taking calls and texts. I do want to address the text that the person said that this conversation is oddly triggering. Yes. I have an eating disorder that stems in part from how much I hate my body. And first of all, my heart goes out to you because totally. We are just we're body image obsessed. And it's people look at me and they're like, oh, you're so thin. And I'm like, okay, A, I have a dimple in my ass that won't go away, and I have like fat under my butt cheeks that nice. Won't go away. So thin people can be unhealthy. And there are so many people that I don't think Heidi Klum or I don't think perfect models feel like they're perfect. I think everybody feels like they have something to complain about with their body.
And as you were talking about taking an ugly selfie earlier, that goes to the point of flaunting flaws, talking about them as normative. And often in our culture, we have this message that we need to do that at that perfect level. And that's what we produce. Those are the messages we imbibe. And so by embracing hashtag perfectly imperfect, Northwestern this week, we're going to be focusing intensely on normalization of imperfection. And that does wonders for those of us who struggle with eating disorders and body image, for others to come out and be really transparent around their imperfection rather than continuing as I talk with a lot of my clients, emphasize the illusion of perfect.
So, Jim, we're going to be wrapping up here, moving on. Dr. Duffy, you're going to be hanging with us because we're going to switch topics here. Closing statement here. Got a lot of people. Unfortunately, we can't get to all of them, but generally wanting, you know, more health and food related questions answered. How can people get a hold of you, and what's your kind of final thought on this?
Sure. My website is jimkaras.com, JIMKARAS as in Sam.com. I answer all my emails, so if you email me, I will get back to you. Final thought is pick one habit that you're struggling with the most. Is it sleep? Is it water consumption? Is it food? And here's the greatest thing I'm going to tell you in 5 seconds. Intermittent fasting. Just don't eat dinner. So if you don't want to eat healthy food, eat breakfast, eat lunch, or don't eat breakfast and don't eat lunch. I mean, I used to really go after people who wanted to skip meals. The research on intermittent fasting and what it does to your body is off the charts.
I'm reading more and more about that, but so explain it. It's 12 hours?
It's 18 to 24. Personally, I can do 18. I cannot do 24. On Mondays, I eat breakfast at 6, I eat lunch at noon, and I don't eat again until on Tuesday at 6.
So nothing but water.
Water and tea. I'm a big tea drinker. Tea is the fountain of youth.
Okay, good. Fabulous.
And do you like stock up on that lunch? Is it a big,
absolutely. Absolutely, Frank. Oh, yeah. Big salad. 6, 8, 10 ounces of grilled chicken or fish. Absolutely. It is a big breakfast and a big lunch.
Okay.
And then just shut it down. So it's an easy way. If you love to eat crap, sorry, said crap on the air, and you know, you don't want to eat vegetables, then just stop eating. That's right. That was worse. Okay.
And all right, let's move on. Dr. Jessica Pryor, I do want to address one quick text that came in, and this is probably perfect for you. How do I find a therapist to help me with my body image?
Great. I was just going to say, one of the best tips I can give is connecting with a therapist. There's no shame in that, and many of us go to therapists for a lot of different reasons, including this struggle with this myth and illusion of perfectionism. So there are a couple great websites online. One is the place I work, the Family Institute at Northwestern University. It's www.family-institute.org, and you can find a therapist there. There's also goodtherapy.org, and psychologytoday.com has a therapist directory. You can search based on presenting problem, insurance, coverage, etc.
Great.
Excellent.
I also think, if I can just add this real quickly, if you are on Instagram or Facebook, find groups that will help you with this. There are Facebook groups that you can find. If you do certain hashtags for body image or, you know, perfectly imperfect, find different hashtags to follow, and you can find an amazing community on social media that will help you with this.
Great.
Yes.
Good point. And John, you want to button this up in terms of the food aspect of things and the mental?
Yeah, you know, I think to the point of both of the texters that you just read about, there are emotional underpinnings to almost everything that we suffer, including food issues, including body image issues. There's a bit in my office that when somebody comes in with a presenting problem, that's hardly ever the problem. And often there's something that happened long ago in your life, and that drives how you feel about yourself, about your body, about food now. And some of that's about control and a whole myriad of other issues. So if you can get to therapy or find a way to identify and understand what drives the way you feel about these things, the better you're going to be at finding solutions quickly.
Excellent point.
Awesome.
Jim, Jessica, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Great being here.
We'll definitely have to do this again. I like the whole roundtable deal.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.